You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
This morning, we're talking about covenant security. Covenant security. Gallup poll says one of the greatest needs in our life is to feel secure. Feel secure. Perhaps at one time, you would say, I felt financially secure, but today I don't feel as financially secure. Or maybe at one time you felt secure, your health, but today you don't feel as secure. Health seems to be fading. I'll tell you, a year ago, I was pretty uncertain about my health. I thought, Lord, what is happening to me? 2017 was a rough year physically for me. I got a new hip and I got a new knee, and I'm thinking in those first weeks and months after surgery, dear Lord, what have I done? Will I ever be able to whatever? Can I tell you, I'm running again. I'm riding my bike, I'm swimming, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, and a whole bunch I shouldn't be doing. So I was insecure, now I'm a little more secure. But sometimes it goes the other way on that. How about this? How about, you'd say, Pastor, there was a time I thought my marriage was secure, but I'm just not sure. I thought my children was going to turn out right, but something happened, and my kids are struggling. These things, health and finance, relationships, we look for security in them. And when we do, we really miss it. Because there is only one thing that we find absolute stability, absolute security. Because in this world, listen, we are in a broken world, and this world can throw some things at us that rock us, that literally knock the props out from underneath us. And if we don't have a firm foundation, if we don't have an assurance that God is in control of our life, we're going to be shaken to our very core. And so this morning I'm talking about covenant security and covenant relationship. It's built on love and trust, that when we do our part, God always does his part. Matthew chapter 6, we started this last week and made it through the first part. Today, I want to give you seven things to help us to process some of the insecurities, some of the fears, some of the worries of life. Matthew 6, 19 through 34 says this: Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, then the whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And again, that's talking about deception, when we think we have light, but we really don't have light. And when we think we're right, but we're really not, then we're really in darkness. We're really deceived. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious. Anxious, worry, fearful. Do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, what you will drink, or your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? And which of you by being anxious, again, worry, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I love your word. My wisdom is limited. But by your grace, your wisdom, your word, what you infuse and impart into us through your word, by the anointing, that life, that extra. God, we need you. Life can become heavy. Life can become distracting, disappointing. God, we need to have a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning. And Solomon, in his quest, said it's not money, it's not in the excesses of life. Lord, it comes back to you. We need you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here today. I pray that you would speak into our hearts and lives. May the peace, the presence of God, may there be greater hunger and desire for God because we've been in your presence, because we've worshiped, because we have received your word. Let your anointing, God, be heavy today. And I pray you will change us and make us more like you. We're desperate for you, Lord. We commit this morning to you, blessing each person this day in Christ's name. And everyone would say, amen. Now, here is the crux of it. Jesus is teaching us that when we place our security in anything that is earthly or temporal, especially in excess, then it's like riding a roller coaster through life. It just doesn't seem to make sense. There's no rhyme or no reason. Jesus talks about two kinds of security. We talked about this last week. I'll highlight it quickly. Earthly security. Do not lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Verse number 19, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break through and steal. Moths, again, people of that day didn't have a lot of the things that we would put money into today. They put money into their clothes, and they would sew gold threads or silver threads or precious jewels into their clothes. And he's saying, you know, you're storing up treasure where moths come in and eat and destroy. Moths don't come in and eat the clothes you wear. They eat the clothes that are back in the closet. And he's saying, you're putting your security, this is your investment. It was their way of investing. You're putting your security in something that can be eaten up. I mean, it's easy to make the parallel as to what that means to us today. It may not be clothes, but we're putting our emphasis in things that can be eaten up. Moth, where rust, talking about that which eats away. We understand rust, especially on the Gulf Coast. We understand what salt does and how rust, and it just is accelerated. And again, he's talking about that which eats away. In their day, they had barns filled with grain, and rodents would come in and eat away. Even the man who said, let me tear down my barns and build bigger barns. He's building bigger barns, but still rodents can break in, undermine and eat away. And then he says this, and we're thieves. He's just saying when we bank on something earthly for our security, and we have that tendency as human beings, that we are going to be insecure and disappointed. And then he talks about not only earthly security, but heavenly security. And he says, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and rust, where thieves don't break in. Let me take you back to 1 Timothy 6:17-19 real quick. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hope on uncertain riches, but on God. So what is he saying? He's saying this. He's saying trust God, not in uncertain riches, but trust God. There's a tendency to put our trust in things that we can buy or things that we can control. And then again, I would add to that, we are master manipulators. We like that control. We like manipulation. We want to make things work out. And he's saying you cannot have security if that's the kind of life you're living. He goes on to say here, who richly provides us, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good. Here's what God wants us to do good, which means morally righteous. It means to be virtuous, integrity, honor, merit, blameless. And so he's challenging us to do good, to be rich in good works. We reminded everyone, we're not saved by good works. Everybody say amen to that. There's a tendency, Americans, we in Western culture and in many religious organizations in America and around the world, it's all about good works. If I can keep doing enough good things, then I can earn my way into heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. For by grace you are saved. It is the gift of God, not of your works, lest any man would boast. Amen? We got to constantly remind ourselves. But once we're saved, we're to do good works, right? And so he tells us here, these are things that we are to put forth. It's a foundation, we're going to find out. Good works, be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves. There's that treasure in heaven. Treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. So we went through that in greater detail last week. And I'll give you a couple more areas of heavenly treasure at the conclusion of this message. Now, let's jump in to some new things. Jesus teaches us that treasure is connected to our heart. What are you passionate about? What do you spend your time doing? What do you spend your resources doing? What do you spend your energy doing? Matthew 6:21. Here's what he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, what's your passion and what's your desire? Show me your checkbook, or show me your credit card statement, or show me where you spend your money and your time, and I'll show you what your treasure is, where your heart's at. Because it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart. That's where you're going to pour everything. Pour it all into. Jesus teaches us treasure is connected to our minds. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness. In other words, it's through the eyes that we see and want and fall in love with things. And it's through our eyes connected to our which is our mind. We see it and it's in our mind. Bible even tells us sin comes about because we're drawn away. We see things and we're drawn away by our own lust. We're talking about security. Don't be anxious about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. And then he goes into this teaching us that our treasure is connected to our heart, connected to our minds. Do you know that our minds, do you know that that's where spiritual warfare takes place? Is right here. Spiritual warfare is right here. It's the mind of God warring against the mind of Satan right here in the mind of man. It's where the battle is happening. Are we going to listen to God, or are we going to listen to our flesh, or are we going to listen to the enemy? And really, what we think, what we see and think, determines our will. What we actually end up doing. Listen to this. The mind is greater than the will. Hello? The mind is greater than the will because the mind determines the will. What we let in, what we think about, affects what we do. That's why it's important that the Word of God, that we every day, the Word of God, that spiritually we're connecting. Are you following me here? Amen? This is critical. You hear me say it all the time. The mind's greater than the will. Mind's greater than the will. I always use the illustration. If I set a box of ding-dongs or ho-hos on the counter and I say, I'm not going to eat those ding-dongs, I'm not going to eat them, 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 as long as I'm looking at them and talking to them, guess what? I'm going to end up eating them. Right? Because my mind is greater than my will. I'm saying I'm not, but because I see it, I will eventually take it in. And so it's critical here. Isn't it interesting in the midst of this message of worry and what is priority and first in our life, that he talks about the eye is the lamp to the body. If your eye is healthy, if your eye is right, if you're feeding your mind the right things, then you will live the right way. Hello, somebody grab that. That's why we talk about over and over and over. We got to fill our mind. The Word of God, lamp to our path, a light to our way. I'll fill my life with the Word of God so that I won't sin against God. So Jesus teaches us treasures connected to our mind, and then, of course, to our will. Whatever we've decided to serve, and we decide what we're going to serve, we decide what's important, we decide what our security is going to be by what we see and what we think about. And if we think money, if we think possessions, whatever it is out here that we see, that's our security, that's what we want to attain. We see it, well, that becomes, that determines, that becomes what our security is. Whatever we've decided to serve, and it comes about, the will comes about by our minds. Let me ask you this question. The Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. You fill in that blank. What would you write down? Maybe write it down on your bulletin. For me to live is, what is it? For me to live is money. For me to live is family. For me to live, it's all about my job. It's all about my health. For me to live, is to be married. I want to get married. For me to live is, because that's what you're placing your security in. At some juncture in your devotional time, today, tonight, in the morning, contemplate that question. For me to live is. It's powerful. Are we going to place our emphasis on eternal things or on earthly things? I concluded last week's message with this thought, and I want to start this week's message with this thought. Here it is. He says you can focus on eternal things and have earthly things, but you cannot focus on earthly things and have eternal things. Oh, come on, that's tweetable. At least say amen. Amen. Hear it again. You can focus on eternal things and have earthly things, because he's given us everything to enjoy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, you can focus on eternal things and have earthly things, but you can't focus on earthly things and have eternal things. And the tendency of our life is to go after the tangible. And Scripture's saying, no, it's to put God first. And it literally says that, seek ye first. But yet our heart's desire is that which is tangible. Let's take this through the next section of Scriptures. And he gives great emphasis, because we tend to be a people that are anxious or we worry. Of course, worry is connected to fear, and worry and fear are huge enemies of faith. It undermines faith. That's why it's so important, because we know this: without faith, it's impossible to please God. So wouldn't it stand to reason that Satan would try to undermine what pleases God, which is faith? You hear me say all the time, God's compassionate towards you. Excuse me, he's close to the brokenhearted. He's a caring God. But he doesn't respond to my pity or pain. He responds to my faith, even in my brokenness. God, I trust you. I don't understand why these things happen, but I'm going to trust you. God responds to that. He responds to faith. And so the enemy would come at us to try to fill us with worry and to fill us with fear. And some people tend to worry more than others. Now, this message is a little bit connected to a message that we preached early on in this series when we talked about covenant peace. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the God of peace will flood you with a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Different focus, a little bit different direction. Definitely needed. So let me ask you this question. How many of you feel like you have the gift of worry? Don't respond. It's not a gift. It's not a spiritual gift. In fact, if you really want to get to the core of the matter, I'll go so far as to say it's actually sin. Because he says, do not worry. But we tend to worry. We tend to be anxious. Why? Because we're looking to tangible things. Because we're trying to control. Because we're trying to manipulate. And this world is out of control and will never be able to tame our world. So what do we have to do? We have to trust our God. Amen? Sure. Well, here's what he says. Let's walk through this. This is fascinating. The things that he says. Here's the title, the head of this. Those who place Christ first should not worry, because they understand. They understand. They should not worry. Matthew 6:25 says, therefore I tell you, do not worry, or do not be anxious. And really he's saying it four times here. He's saying, don't worry about your life. Don't worry what you eat. Don't worry what you drink. Don't worry about your body. Is not life more than? Fear and worry crush more dreams than failure ever will. A lot of people may be like they're afraid to step out. It's the fear and the worry that crush the dreams. It's not the fact that you might fall on your face. It's the fact that you never even try. And why don't we try? Because of the fear and the worry. So, what's he say? If we place trust in Christ, we should not worry because we understand, number one, what life consists of. Don't be anxious about your life, what you eat, what you drink, about your body, what you put on. All right. Is not life more than food and a body more than clothing? Is not life more than? You see, Christians, Christ followers, who place Christ first should not worry because they're not confused about what brings value to their life. I just assume you're writing that down and that's why you're so quiet. Man, that's good, Pastor. Keep preaching. Amen. Are you with me? We're not confused. We're not confused about what brings value. Here's the second thing. Those who place Christ first should not worry because they understand their value to God. Look at the birds, verse 26. They neither sow nor they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable? You see, Christ followers who put Christ first, they understand this. They understand they're created in God's image. They understand that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on the cross of Calvary to forgive them of their sins. If there's anyone in the world that ought to have self-worth, it's those of us who are Christ followers. I'm sure that God looks at people who call themselves Christians and may be his children and have such pathetic self-worth and just don't see that their life has any value or purpose or meaning. I'm sure he says, do you not understand? Can't you get it? Don't you hear my word? You're more valuable than birds. I care about the birds. They don't store up. They don't plant. I make sure they have food. I'm going to take care of you. Amen. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, I know a little bit about psychology, a little bit about people, and for someone to think as a Christ follower, my life is worthless, I have no value, I have no purpose, I mean, we're allowing temporal things to overwhelm our minds. And he's saying, I've got you. I value you. Amen. Today, someone, God values you. He's saying, are you not more valuable? Don't you see it? Those who place Christ first should not worry because they recognize this. Worry is totally useless. We don't think that because we think, if I worry about this, it's surely got to make it better. But it's useless, isn't it? I mean, what's he say here? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? In another place, it adds this to the story. It talks about who can add any height to themselves. You can't add hours, you can't add height. Fascinating. I went back, looked at notes from previous message, Googled it up again. 85% of what we worry about never happens. Another survey said 99% of what we worry about never happens. That survey also said the 1%, though, could kill us. But worry is totally useless. How about this? Those who place Christ first in their life should not worry because they understand power and wealth leave us lacking. Do we believe that? Do you believe that? That power and wealth leave us lacking? Listen to this, Matthew 6:29. We're just walking right through this passage, what Jesus says. But I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now he's talking about the flowers of the field. There's an incredible misconception. Most people in America believe this: if I just had more money, if I could just get a little bit more ahead. And Jesus is saying it's just not true. This is an anti-possession, anti-wealth, anti-money. It's about where we're putting our trust. The whole world thinks that they had more money. If I could just win the lottery, then my problems would be solved. He compares this to Solomon. Solomon was the wealthiest and wisest man who'd ever lived. People came from hundreds of miles to Jerusalem to see all the incredible things that Solomon built. And yet he said Solomon isn't clothed as well as these flowers. See, all the resources and provisions and possessions, everything that you can accumulate, are not going to keep you from being insecure. I would go so far as to say this. I know some wealthy people, wealthy beyond American wealth. We're all wealthy living in America, wealthy above and beyond. Can I tell you this? Some of the most insecure people I know have an awful lot of possessions because the tendency. Last week we talked about this. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, that small opening once the gates had been shut in the city. It's easier for a camel to get down on its belly and be drugged through a small hole called the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. It's not the wealth. It's not the riches. It's the trust in my wealth and my riches. And that's what he's saying. Where's your security? Those who place Christ first in their life should not worry because they understand, here's the fifth thing, worry reflects the character of an unbeliever. Matthew 6:32, for the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So he's saying, listen, when you worry, you're acting like the heathen. You're acting like people who don't know God. I think he's looking in amazement and saying, don't you realize you're my children? And you're constantly worried about these areas of your life? Don't you know I care? Don't you know I'm going to take care of you? Those who place their trust in Christ should not worry because they understand this. Worry keeps us from making God number one. Worry keeps us from making God number one. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye, say it with me, but seek ye first. Seek ye first. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, What's the question we're going to ask ourselves in our devotional time? For me to live is Christ really first? Is Christ really first? Worry keeps us from making God number one. Pastor, are you sure about that? Listen to me. Look real close. Read my lips this morning. I know worry. You know why people don't tithe? We talked about covenant blessing and tithe. You know why people don't tithe? Because they think they do a better job than God. People don't tithe because they don't trust God. They're insecure. They don't believe that God takes care, and you can do more on 90 than what with God in control than what you can do on 100% on your own. I'm convinced of that. See, people still trying to run their life and keep control of their finances. I can do this. And what he's saying is you're running your life like unbelievers. There's a different principle that we operate on in the kingdom of God, and it's one of trust. And all I have to do is place him first. Those who place Christ first in their life should not worry, because they understand worry keeps us from dealing with today. Therefore, do not be anxious, verse 34, about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. See, worry saps energy. There's something, I used to live with this. I lived with it for a number of years. And it's this, dread. Dread. I dreaded. There was so much pressure. I dreaded each day. I was transitioning a church. It was a larger church. There was a lot of discord. I had to make some hard decisions. I was in a lawsuit. I was being sued personally and the church over something that happened before I became the pastor of the church. I was going through depositions. I was out of my comfort zone. I had some staff members that I was having to transition. There's nothing any worse than when there's not chemistry among your team. That's what I've always had. Here was a season that I didn't. We ended up getting it. But for a period of time, I would park in the back of the church, walk through the back door, go to my office, because I couldn't hardly walk through the front and by all the offices in the front of the place. And I felt dread. Oh God, I gotta do this today. Can I just tell you, that's a horrible way to live? And there's people that live in that constant, oh, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Worry saps energy. It divides us. It divides our focus. It keeps us from dealing with the present because we're worried about tomorrow. It literally takes all the strength out of your body. Anybody ever dealt with dread in their life? I got to land this. Here's what I want you to notice. Notice my statement. Those who place Christ first should not worry. They understand. Those who place Christ first should not worry because they understand. Listen to me. Listen, look right here. This is a faith thing I'm talking about. Because they understand. I didn't say because they feel. Hello? I didn't say those who place Christ first should not worry because they feel. What did I say? Because they. Say it with me. Because they. They understand. What are you saying, Pastor? Because they understand the Word of God. They trust the Word of God over their feelings. That is security. I feel a little bit like my dad this morning. I feel like my dad's talking to me through this, and I feel kind of like a dad talking to you. You've got to trust God. I can hear my dad say, son, listen, you've got to trust God's word over what your emotions. Your emotions are all over the board. You've got to trust God's word. And then he would say this to me. He'd say, son, you better watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. And it wasn't because I was being a smart mouth. Watch this. It says in here, verse 31, it's on the whole verse. I don't have just verse 31 up there. It says there, do not be anxious, and then it says this, saying. Be careful about verbalizing all your fears. Hello? Because more things happen than when we say it than when we don't. Hello? See what happens? Faith is spoken. Fear is also spoken. And he's saying this, you got to watch your words. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. And then saying, what shall we? Are you with me on that this morning? Amen? What's the covenant principle? You say, this is covenant message. Here's the covenant principle. When we do our part, God always does his part. Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things will be added to us. When we do our part, God always does his part. And when we move into covenant relationship, that's where we experience forgiveness. That's where we walk in fellowship, intimacy. It's where we walk in our Father's abundance and blessing, and it's where we walk as a family of God. Amen? Amen. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Romans 14:17 is not about meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What are we seeking? God, I'm going to seek after you. Your kingdom is righteous, right with God. Your kingdom is a kingdom of peace. Mine is a kingdom of worry, but yours is a kingdom of peace. Yours is a kingdom of joy, and yours is a kingdom of power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes up on you. Amen.